Red Film Radio, Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Italy.
Red Film Radio at the Lovers Film Festival in Torino. I am Angelo Acerbi, and I'm here with Pekka Strang. Hello, Pekka.
Hello, hello.
Pekka is the lead actor of Tom of Finland, the film that opened the festival yesterday night. How did you get involved in this project?
Well, actually, just a traditional way through casting. I got a phone call and went to casting a few times, and suddenly I got the call that you got the part. I mean, what's better than that? I thought he was joking in the beginning, or not joking. I wasn't sort of expecting it. It's such a big role and such an honor to do it. So, no, it was great.
I was at the presentation of the project last year in Berlin, at the Berlin Festival, and the producers were saying that the pressure for them on this project, being Tom of Finland such an important persona for Finland, was very strong. Did you feel the same urge, the same kind of anxiety in order to perform it?
Of course, in the beginning, when you just get the part, I remember I sat in my backyard in the garden, I was thinking, like, let's see how this goes. But fortunately, we just moved the shootings with maybe half a year, so then you get used to the idea. And of course, when you start to work, it's only work. You can't think of the end result, and you can't think of the iconic status of Tom of Finland. You're just portraying a human being. So at the end, it's all the same, and it's of course there's a bit of pressure because it's. It's a real person, and he's got friends and he's got relatives still alive, and you want to sort of not make too big mistakes. But during the shootings, you just have to concentrate on the scene and on the situation in that moment. You can't think of you can't think of Tom of Finland, the iconic artist, or Touko Laakso and his legacy. You can just portray a human being.
Did you manage to get in touch with some of these friends or relatives still alive just to have some glimpse and hints on him?
Yeah, sure. I met up with the Tom of Finland Foundation and I met Dirk Denner, who was a really close friend, who's actually the character Doug in the movie, in L.A. before the shooting. And I sat down with them for 2 days, and we sat in Tom's... Tom's room where he lived in L.A. and sat down on in the garden, where just on the spot where he liked to have his morning cigarette, and just talking to them. And then I met a few friends in Finland. And of course, it's very sensitive when you meet people who have met the real. I mean, it's like somebody's coming up to you, say, "I'm going to play your mother." And it's like, whoa, wait, you're not
her. Maybe I have some kind of suggestion.
yeah. But then you, of course, have to filter it, because when people go away, when people die, you tend to just remember the good things of the person, and you have to find the inner conflict and sort of the whole person. You can't just just one side of it. You got to find all the three dimensions or four dimensions of a human being, so... You have to sort of filter it and make your own interpretation. I'm not saying my interpretation of Tom is the real one. It's not a documentary. It's a biopic. It's a fiction. It's a faction, or like this. So you have to be free from all the memories of people, but you have to respect it. So it's a bit of a conflict, but it's interesting.
Actually, friends of mine that saw the movie told me that they were kind of surprised by it because it was expecting something else. It was more, it was expecting him to be a different person than what he was. So what you said is right, because maybe you just portrayed a person that was not like an icon, but was just a man.
Well, we must remember he was born in 1920s in a really small village in Finland. Everybody is a normal person. I mean, and the more you work with it, the more status you get, and the more people start to sort of imagine how you are. And we almost every time we do the mistake to think that the art and the artist is the same. But really seldom it is. I mean, if you think of Camus and Meursault, it's not the same person. Of course, there's something of him. But as he himself said, that he drew his fantasies.
Exactly. And, so we think that he was his fantasy, but he was not.
I don't think so. I don't think there were a lot of orgies with muscle guys in the 1940s in Finland. So maybe in the late 70s in LA, but he started drawing these really like hyper-masculine guys out in the sun in the 50s. He sort of, I don't know where he got it from. I mean, all the lumberjacks and the police officers.
Probably it was like drawing a fantasy that he would like to live, but he couldn't live because he was a different kind of man. He lives in a different country and whatever, for many different reasons.
Yes, and so Finland
projecting. Like.
Yeah, Finland was very conservative, so he actually lived such a double life until his death that even his relatives didn't know he was Tom of Finland, except for one sister. That's true. I met his nephew just after an opening in Finland, and. And he was crying, and probably because he didn't know about Tom's life or Touko's life that much, and the silence in the families in Finland probably still to some extent, or maybe all around the world. So he lived quite an interesting life, and he had one life in L.A. where he was the icon and he was the god, and he had all these really nice-looking guys around him. Then he came back to Finland, and he was just an ordinary old man. And you can see pictures from the same year when he's in L.A. He's wearing leather pants without any shirt on, and he's with these bodybuilder, really handsome guys. And then he's back in Finland with his sisters, and he's got like jeans and a vest and looks really like an old man. Mm-hmm. So that's the way he lived, and I think that's the really interesting part of it too.
Yeah, it must be a kind of really hard and complicated to have such a double life for like 80 years of your life.
Exactly, yeah. But we must remember that the times were really different when he grew up, so I mean, we have come a long way from the 20s around the world, so he probably made a decision quite early, and it was not about himself. He was so confident with his identity and his sexuality. It wasn't a conflict for him, but as we can see in the movie, that you really got, it was a crime, and you got outed in front of a whole crowd, and people's views on sexuality were very, very like conservative in those days. So you could really risk not only your own career, but your whole family. And I think he wanted to protect his family. That's what I've been told, at least.
Well, now the film is going around the world, so you're traveling like mad. You were just telling me before that you're going to Malta next week.
Yeah.
And which are your following project after this one? After having spent some of your time promoting this film, what are you going next?
Well, we'll see. I've actually been promoting the whole spring now, so it's now it's only these fun festivals like Turin and Malta and maybe something else, Madrid, and I just love the traveling. But I'm actually filming right now in Finland with a TV series, and then I'm doing a children's movie, and then I have a few criminal series coming up in the spring, and then there's a few movies on the road.
So you are pretty busy.
Yeah, I hope
luckily.
So. luckily, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love to work, so.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Pekka Strang, for being with us. It was Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.